Today's shiur is Masechta Metzia Daf Pei, and we will begin on Daf Pei Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Kasoiches Aparo Lachrosh Bahar. When somebody rented a cow for the purpose of plowing on a mountain. And Rashi helps us understand, very important for helping understand the Gemara, how mechanically this worked. They would have a cow, and they would have a person, and they would attach the plow to the cow. They would have a person guiding the plow in front, and in back they would have a person actually pushing the plow into the ground. And here, this individual rented the cow with the apparatus and with the people to do the actual work. The charash babika. And instead of going on the mountain, they went on a valley. And again, as the Ritva explains, we pointed this out previously, if there were no stipulations made where he's going to plow, the halacha is that he could plow anywhere. Here, as the Mishnah teaches us, we're referring to where it was clearly stipulated that they're going to plow on the mountain, and instead they plowed in the valley. Teaches us the Mishnah, if under these circumstances, Nishbar Kankan, the plow breaks, potter. Because if it broke in a valley, it certainly would have broken on the mountain. Babika, if he, however, contracted to plow in a valley, v'charash bahar, and instead he plowed on the mountain, so it's much tougher a mountain than it is a valley, and there, imnishbar kankan chayv. As we'll learn in the Gemara, if he contracted to plow on a mountain or in a valley, and he did as was supposed to, and the plow breaks, so the renter is not responsible. He didn't deviate from the deal, but the individuals who are working on it will be responsible, as the Gemara will teach us, because it must have broken because they didn't do their job properly. There is a machloikis. What will be the halacha if, as the Mishnah began, the contract was for the mountain, and they actually went to the valley? So certainly, as the Mishnah teaches us, the person who rented the plow will be potter. He went to an easier place. What will be the din on the people who are working the plow? It could be argued that they should be chayiv because they must have done something wrong. Other mafarshim say that they won't be chayiv either because they went to an easier place. It must be that the plow was defective. There are paiskim that want to make a difference. If these workers are workers for the owner of the plow, well, then they may be chayiv, versus if they work for the renter, well, then they may be potter. Continues the Mishnah, Lodesh Bekitnius, if the contract was to thresh beans, Vedash Betfu, and instead wheat was thresh, potter, because wheat is less slippery than beans. So if the animal hurt itself by wheat, it certainly would have hurt itself by beans. However, vice versa, Lodesh Betfuo, Vedash Bekitnius, Chayiv. Mishnei Kitnius Mechalekis, beans are more slippery, and perhaps that's why the animal slipped, because he went with a more slippery commodity. Says the Gemara, Hecha de lo shanaba. Let's say the renter followed the stipulations and didn't deviate. Man Mishalem, who would be responsible? Amarov, Papa, the Nakat Parsha Mishalem, the one that guides the animal. As we said at the beginning of the shiur, there's two individuals involved in the plowing exercise. The one that actually guides the animal will be Chayiv. Rav Shesh Breder of Idi Omar, the Nokat Mona Mishalem, the one that holds the actual plow, he's the more responsible party. And Paskin the Gemara, Vilchasa, the Nokat Mona Mishalem, the one that actually holds the plow will be responsible. However, Vidukka, if they go to a place, the Machsur Gundri, which is particularly rocky, so it's a very tough area, then Tavaya Mishalman. So the way Rashi explains why both individuals are responsible, because we have a suffix, who is the responsible party, and the halach is, Momen HaMutba Suffix Cholkim. When we have a suffix, the two parties should divide the responsibility. Tosfos is very bothered with Rashi's pshat, because Tosfos says, we know throughout Shas, this concept of Momen HaMutba Suffix Cholkim is actually Machloikis. One opinion is Momen HaMutba Suffix Cholkim. Another opinion is that Hamotz Mechaveir Olav Haraya, and we always paskin Hamotz Mechaveir Olav Haraya. So why over here, all of a sudden, is Rashi paskining the Maman Amut B'Safa Cholkin? Therefore, Tosfos explains, what the Gemara means is that actually they were both jointly responsible. They both didn't do their job properly, and that's why they should divide the obligation, the loss to the plow. No, according to Tosfos, it's both of his fault, and that's why they both have... Right. In this case, the Gemara means that they're both responsible. That's how Tosfos learns. Rashi clearly doesn't learn that way. But we have Tosfos' kasha on Rashi that, indeed, we don't pass him on multiple suffix holkim. Why all of a sudden here do we? So the Achrayim try to defend Rashi. Trumas Hadeshin says, Shana Rashi, is that since the halacha is that they would both have to swear that it's not his fault, it's the other one's fault, and they aren't able to swear because they really don't know what is the cause, so we have no other option but to say Cholkin. That's how the Trumas Hadeshin answers. The Tzois says a very interesting chiddush. He says, when we said, as I said a moment ago, that we normally don't paskin Maman Amut B'Safik Cholkin, it doesn't mean that we never paskin that way. Typically, we don't paskin that way. However, there are situations that the Chachamim agree that Maman Amut B'Safik Cholkin, and this is one such situation. Rabbi Kiva Eger answers differently. Rabbi Kiva Eger answers, when the two individuals of Al Gemara plow together, what actually happens here is, each one is doing his job, and also guaranteeing that the other one will do his job properly. And therefore, if the other one doesn't do the job properly, he is indeed responsible, and that's why they have to pay jointly. Says the Gemara. In fact, the Rishonim are somewhat perplexed how this Gemara that we're about to learn comes into our Gemara. It doesn't really have anything to do with our Sugya. Amar Rav Yochanan, Hamach Paral Chaveiro, if somebody sells a cow to somebody else, Vamaroi, and the seller, and we're going to learn the Gemara as Rashi explains it. If, explain the Rishonim, when I sell you a cow, I just make a blanket statement. I want you to know that this is a problematic cow. Without identifying any issues, then you can't have any issue with me if the cow is a problematic cow. I warned you. Here, as the Gemara teaches us, I'm a little more specific. I say, Parzu Nachonasi, it kicks. Nashchan, not kicks it, what do you call it? It does Karen. Nashchanasi, it bites. Batonasi, it kicks. Reftsonasi, it lays down and does damage. Vahoybamum echot, it only had one of these problems, not all of them. The Sumpfen Beta Mumen, but he mentioned all of these problems. Harezim Ekachtos. And as Rashi explains, why? Because I listed a whole bunch of problems. And you, the buyer, examined the animal and saw that this problem that I identified isn't there. So you are safe to assume that really none of these problems exist. And therefore, if it does exist, you have a right to say it's a mekachtos. However, if I say mum zeh mum acher, identify one specific problem. And then I say it has other problems. And you find that it has other problems, and the mekachtos. Because as long as it has the problem that I identified, the fact that I just made a general statement afterwards that it has other problems really doesn't make any big difference compared to the one I specified. And says the Gemara Tanya Namehochi, actually we learned this in a Braisa. And in fact, the Mefarshim asked, what is Rabbi Yochanan coming to teach us if it's an explicit Braisa? So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is that the Braisa refers to a shivcha. Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush is that we treat the din of selling an animal similarly to the way we treat buying or selling a shivcha. Or another simple term is Rabbi Yochanan wasn't aware of this brisa. It says Amarcha shivcha l'chaveri. If I sell you a shivcha, Vamalan I tell you shivcha is shaitahi, she is a shaita nichvasi, she's epileptic mishumemishi, or she acts as disturbed. And the Farshim point out, number one, by saying nichvas, epileptic, we see that epilepsy is a very serious issue. And therefore, the Paiskim say that if chas v'sholem, somebody marries a woman, and it turns out that Nebuch, this woman is an epileptic, he could claim mekachtos. Others say, what's the difference between shaita and mishumemis? Shaita is sort of retarded. Mishumemis is not that she's retarded, but she does crazy things. and she only has one of these problems, not all the other problems. However, the son for Bein Mumim, and he mentioned all these other problems, Hareza Mekhtaz. Because he could say, just like I assumed that I saw that she doesn't have this problem, I assume that she doesn't have any other problems. However, Mumzeh, he did identify one Mum, and then he didn't speak specifically about any other Mumim. Mum Acher, he just said that if she has other problems, then it's Einzeh Mekhtaz. Amalei Rav Acher Rei Rav Ashi. If somebody sold a shifcha or an animal, and he said, and the seller said to the buyer that she has all these problems, and indeed she has them, and the buyer says to the seller, I really never thought that she has all these problems. It's inconceivable that she has all these problems. But now that I realize she does have all these problems, I want to claim it's a mekhtos. Mahu. Amalei Ramotkler Vashi. Hochamri Mishmei Derova. Hoyba Kola Mom and Halalu. If I mention all of the problems, and she indeed has all the problems, you can't say I would never have believed that that's the case, and you have no right to say it's a mekhtos. I saw a very interesting discussion in the Pikeskim. We're speaking about mekhtos. Let's say I buy something which is defective. So the halacha is, I'm allowed to give it back, and you have to return my money, mekhtos. However, the Shulchan Aruch says, let's say I buy something, and it's defective, and I recognize it's defective, and I use it, and then afterwards I want to return it, that's unacceptable. Why do you use it? You should have returned it anyway, right away. However, I saw that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses, there are a number of situations that come up in understanding this din. He says, let's say you buy a pair of shoes. And as you walk, and you put on the new pair of shoes, and you're walking in the street, and then you notice that the pair of shoes is defective, it has a hole. So you're not expected to have to walk in the street without shoes, and you may continue wearing the shoes until you get back to the store, until you get home. Similarly, he says, let's say you buy a machsa, for Yom Tif, for a Shani, Yom Kippur, whatever, and in the middle of davening, you realize that the machsa is defective, it's missing 20 pages. Are you allowed to continue davening on Yontif? You can't go return the machzor on Yontif, and you need a machzor to daven. Or should you look in with a friend not to use the machzor until you return it? He says, especially nowadays, where they're not going to probably repair the machzor, because it costs more to repair than just to print a new one, you could continue davening with the machzor. However, he says, let's say you bought a new couch, because you're having guests tonight, and you need a place for them to sleep. And the couch is delivered, and you realize that the couch has a defect on it. But the store's closed. It's already at night. And you need the couch for your guest to sleep on. Would you be allowed to use the couch tonight and let your guest sleep on it and return it tomorrow? Or you're not allowed to use it. There he says you're not allowed to use it. Even though you need the couch and you have nothing nowhere else for the guest to sleep, you sleep on the floor, he says, and give your guest the bed, but don't use the defective couch without permission, even though you shouldn't have gotten such an item. Says the Mishnah. Hasoiches Hamor, and as we're going to learn in the Gemara in a moment, the Gemara has two ways, Achloikas Abayi and Rova, how to understand this Mishnah. Rashi, so we'll follow Rashi's approach, follows Abayi's explanation of the Mishnah, which is actually interesting, because the Halacha actually follows Rova's opinion. Says the Mishnah. Hasoiches Hamor Lovi Lachitim. I rented a donkey to bring on it wheat. And the typical weight of a load is a lesach. And a lesach is 15 saw. Each saw has in it 6 kav. A kor has in it 30 saw. So lesach again is 15 saw, each saw being 6 kav. Six calves. Hasach chamal lavi lachitin. I contracted to put on it wheat. Vehevi la sayrim. And instead of putting on a wheat, I put on it barley. Chayiv. Tfua, or vice versa. I rented it to put on grain. Vehevi la tevin. Or I put on it straw, again lighter. Chayiv. Nesha nefech koshik masri. In other words, what Rabbiya explains is as follows. One could argue, the Mishnah is going to teach, let's say it this way. The Mishnah is going to teach that I'm allowed to put on it a lesach. The Mishnah also teaches us that we get a 30th leeway. That means if lesach is 15 saw, if you put on it 3 kav more, it's fine. Because you can't be exact. Now, let's say I contracted to put on a lesach of tvua. A lesach of barley, a lesach of straw, weighs much less than a lesach of wheat. So I should have much more leeway, because anyway the weight is less. Teaches us the Mishnah that even though the weight of barley and straw is less than grain, I don't get any more leeway for that. Why? Because the factor, according to Abaya, is not weight, but bulk. And the bulk of a lesach of barley is equal to the bulk, the amount of place it takes up, to grain or any other commodity. Continues the Mishnah. However, if I contracted lehevi lesach chitin vehevi lesach sayrim, I substituted sayrim for chitin, and it's the same amount, certainly I'm potter. V'maisif amasoi. However, if I put on too much extra, past the 3 kav, v'maisif amasoi, I will be chayiv. Why will be chayiv? To Rishonim said, because I'm considered a mazik. The kama yosef amasoi v'yechayiv. What is considered I put on more than I was allowed to? I'm allowed to put on a lesach. What is the amount extra? Simchasayim mishum remeya. By a gomol, it's a saw, because the shear, as the Gemara will teach us in Amud Beis, is always a 30th. So the standard load of a saw, the standard load of a gomol, of a camel, is 30 saw. So one saw is a 30th. So up to a saw is acceptable, more I may not. Shlosha kabin lechamor. As I said before, a lesach is the standard load of a donkey, and 3 kav is a 30th of a lesach. There's a machloikis. What is pshat that you get up to a 30th extra? Is pshat that the owner of the animal is meichel if you put up more than a 30th or more? Or is pshat that the owner recognizes that it's impossible to be exact, and therefore when I put up a 30th more, it was something that could not be prevented. People are only human. What's the nafkamina lahalacha between these two pshatim? The nafkamina is, if I put up a 30th more, will I have to pay for the extra 30th? If we say pshat is that the owner is meichel, that I don't have to even pay for it. If pshat is that the owner expects it, but he wasn't meichel, so I'm allowed to put up to a 30th more, but I'm going to have to pay for that extra load. Says the Gemara, as I said, Itmar. Abaya amakosha kamasui, that a lesach of sayrim is equal to a lesach of chitin. That's the way to understand the Mishnah Tanan. Says Abaya, Rav amakosha lamasui tanan. And the Gemara explains itself. Abaya amakosha kamasui tanan. We don't differentiate if you put on sayrim instead of chitin. Why? Because according to Abaye, the crucial element in what is going to be a problem for the animal is the volume, is the bulk. Therefore, as the Mishnah teaches us in the Sefer, if I put on 3 kabin more of any commodity, even though I contracted for wheat and I put on sayrim, and sayrim is so much lighter than chitim, doesn't make a difference, I'll be chayiv. Rava disagrees. The factor is not the bulk. We also have to take certainly into consideration the weight. And therefore, a lesach of sa'irim, a lesach of tevin, weighs less than a lesach of chitin. Tikla k'tekla, and therefore the weight has to be equal. V'nafcha v'taisefis. So according to Taisefis, if I contracted to bring a lesach chitin, and instead of bringing a lesach chitin, I brought a lesach sa'irim, and then I add only 3 kav of sayrim, that still is so much weighs less than a lesach of chitin, and I won't be chayiv. When will I be chayiv? I'll only be chayiv if I bring a whole saw of chitin, of sayrim on top of the lesach, which is 6 kav. So lahaloch lamaisa, the nafkamina between Abaye and Rava, is if I contracted for chitin, and I bought instead sayrim, according to Abaye, I'm only allowed to bring 3 kav more of sayrim, which is the standard formula. And according to Rav, I can bring up to 6 kav, a saw extra. Until then, I'm not going to be chayiv. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, a question of Rava. It said in our Mishnah, Lahavi lasachitin, Vahavi lasach sairin parter. But if I brought more than I contracted, chayiv. How much more did I put on? My lav, shloshes kavim, which is a bias pshat, that even though I contracted for chitin, if I put on shloshes kavim sa'irim more, I'm chayiv. Says, well, no, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. So, the Mishnah means if I put on an extra, I contracted for chitin, I put on sa'irim, and I put on an extra saw of sa'irim, six kav, then and only then will I be chayiv, otherwise I won't be chayiv. Ask the Gemara, how can we learn Peshat in the Mishnah that way? V'loktani, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Kama Yosef Amasoi, then the Mishnah just taught us, how much do you add v'yichayiv? Sumchasai Mishnah Rameh, Saw Lagamul, and Shloshi Kav L'chamor. So we see that as soon as you put on three Kav v'yichayiv, you don't have to wait for Saw, which is six Kav. Answers the Gemara, Hochikamer. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Heich D'loishani, in a situation where I didn't deviate, chitin. I contracted to put on it barley, wheat, and actually that's what I did. Vehevi chitin. Or I contracted to put on it soyrim, vehevi soyrim. Kama yoisav amasoy v'yichayiv. How much is considered adding? So that's simchus oyim shirameya, sala gomel, shloshe gimel, kabin chamor. But indeed, if I contracted for chitin, and I put on soyrim, then it's not just shloshe kavin when I'll be chayiv, I won't be chayv until I put on a saw, which is six kavin, because barley weighs less than wheat. Says the Gemara, now a kasha on a baya. Toshmat says in a braisa, lohavi lasachitin, I contracted to put on a lasachitin, the heavy sheish esrei soirim, instead of putting on 15 kav of chitin, I put on 16 kav of soirim, then I'll be chayv. Ha, what does this braisa say? Shloish is kavim. If I would only put on three kav of soirim, I'll be potter. Which is exactly what Rava said. Because since I agreed to put on chitin, and instead of putting on chitin, I put on soirim, I get up to a kav. I get up to a saw, which is six kav. Abai says I only get three kav. How does Abai explain the braisa? Answers the Gemara, Tergum Abai b'mechikta. There are two pshatim in the Rishonim how to learn this Gemara. One pshat in the Rishonim is that there are three ways of measuring. There are three ways of putting a stack of something. One way is gedusha, a heaping stack. Another way is toitefta, which is not over and not under. And third is mechikta, which is a small stack. Says the Gemara, that Abaye says that I agreed to put on chitin, and I put on soirim. But the extra soirim I didn't put on gedusha or even toitefta, I just put on mechikta. So even though I actually put on a whole saw, but since it's mechikta, it really doesn't weigh a whole six kav. It weighs only like three kav, and that's why Abai will say it's acceptable. Another pshat that Rashi and the Rishonim explain is that this mechikta means that the barley was infested with worms. And since it's infested with worms, they eat up some of the commodity, and even though I put on what I thought was six kav, a whole, which I put up a whole saw, which is six kav. Since they were infested, so there's part missing, and really don't have more than three kav, and that's why Abai would agree that I'm not chayv. Tana Rabbanan, says the Braisa, kav l'kasif. The amount that a person carries, if you put on an extra kav over the person, it's considered that you put on too much. Adrif is l'reva. A lesach is considered, if you put on more than a lesach, if you put on lesach more than you contracted on a small boat, it's considered you overloaded it. Kor, if you put a kor on a svina, it's considered that you overloaded it, you put on an extra kor. And shloshes korim, if you put on three extra kor on a burning gedoyla, it's considered that you overloaded. Amamar, says the Gemara, kav l'kasef. If I asked you to carry something for me, and I overloaded you with a kav, it means I overloaded you and I will be responsible. Ask the Gemara, by an animal, by a boat, we can understand the concept of overloading. Because they aren't able to say, you're putting on too much on me. But here we're referring to a human being. In Isa de Loimotzebe, if I overloaded the person, Badasu, the person is an intelligent human being. Lijde, he should complain, you're overloading me. Amra Baya, Indeed, that's what happened. B'shechaf t'l'alta. The person immediately threw it off him. But until he threw it off, he was damaged, and I could be held responsible. Rav Amar afil time b'shloichaf t'l'alta. He didn't immediately throw it off. Lo'tzricha l'agiyus seira. Baruch Hashem, this person who's schlepping this is a strong individual. And he could carry the extra load. But he doesn't have to do it for free. So if I put on less than a kav extra on him, so that's, as we're learning, and we'll learn in a moment more, is to be expected, and I don't have to pay any extra for having done this. If I put on more than a kav, Baruch Hashem, the person was strong enough to carry it, but I will be held responsible. Rav Ashi says the third tarets. I put on too much. So the Gemara immediately asked, so why didn't the person complain? Because who suffer? The person thought, Choshe hudinokulei. He's not feeling well, and that's why he feels like it's too heavy. But he didn't expect me to put on too much. If I put on too much, I will be held responsible if the person is hurt. Ask the Ramban. I put on too much, and the person got wounded because I put on too much, got injured because I put on too much. But isn't this a situation of Grama bin Zaken, that the halacha is that a Grama bin Zaken is chayif? So how do we understand why am I going to be held responsible? So Ramban quotes Mordechai that says that this is like a situation of a shoyl. And as we'll be learning in Mitzvah Shem soon, by a shoyl, if I borrow something, I'm chai ba'ainsim. If I ask you to carry something for me, it's like a situation of a shoyl that even though it's an oinus, I'm chai. The problem with that pshat is obviously what's going to be the din if I'm paying you to carry for me. So how could I call you a shoyl if you're getting paid for this service? So I saw the Arsameich gives a different teretz. The Arsameich says, we learned the Masechta Baba Kama that Abnus Akino Masoi Shenichim Rishus Rabim, if I leave something dangerous in the Rishus Rabim and somebody gets hurt by coming in contact with those things, the halach is that I'm chayiv. If I overload a person, I'm chayiv. Because I put him into a dangerous situation, and that's why I'm going to be chayiv. However, points out the Ktzos, that even though we know that normally, if one person is mazik another person, yechayiv nezik tzar ripu shevus abayshus, since this isn't considered, as I said a moment ago, an exact hezek, it's only somewhat of a hezek, you'll only be chayiv for nezik, you won't be chayiv for tzar ripu shevus abayshus. Omra papa, says Rav Papa, based on what we've learned in this brisa, and actually, as I said, the Mishnah concurs, Shema minu stam svinus, how much is the regular load of a boat? Bas klasa karin, 30 kar. Why? Because we said that what's considered a boat is overloaded, a kar. And as we learned already in the Mishnah, overloading is over the shear of the 30th. So we see if a kar is considered overloading it, then 1/30th is a kar. Ask the Gemara, L'may Nafkamina, what's Nafkamina to know these shiurim? Says L'mekka Chememker. Says the Gemara, if I contract with you to build me a boat, and the boat can't hold 30 kar, you didn't give me what we contracted for. Because a boat is supposed to be able to hold 30 kar. Says the Mishnah, Kala Omnin, Shomrei Sochahein. All Omnin, all craftsmen are considered Shomrei Socher. And therefore, if while you're working on my item, something happens to it, you're chayiv as a shem sacher, you're chayiv a gneva aveda. The Chasam Sofer says, what does the Mishnah mean with the words kol? What does the Mishnah want to teach us the word kol? Saying, we know, we learned it many times, umen kind of a shvach keli. If an umen makes a keli better, it becomes his. But let's say the umen doesn't do anything to better the keli. Maybe I wouldn't consider him a shayim sacher. Teaches us the Mishnah, kala umnen. All umnen have that din. Furthermore, Rashi says, what type of an umen are we referring to? We're referring to a situation of a kablan. What is a kablan? Where I hire you for a job. We could understand this Mishnah very much, very well in our world. Let's say I give a suit to the cleaner. So he's an umen, and I'm paying him for the job. So he's a shayim sacher. So according to the Jewish halacha, he is responsible for Pshia and for Gneva Aveda, or something happens to the suit that I give him. But the Paiskim discuss, what will be the halacha if he's not being paid as a uman, he's being paid as a Sechir Yoin. He's not being paid for the job, he's being paid by the day. So most Paiskim say, even though Rashi says the case of the Mishnah is a case of Kablonis, it really makes no difference. Even if I'm paying you by the job, even if I'm paying you by the day, you're still a Shayma Sachar. The Paiskim also want to differentiate, perhaps, if there's a difference, if you're doing work on my item in your shop, or you're doing it in my home. Some Paiskim say that this thing that you're a Shayma Sachar is only if I bring it to your place of business. And this is, again, let's say I ask a repairman to come to my home and to work on the refrigerator or on the oven. Is he going to be considered a Shayma Sachar or not? Some Paiskim say that only if he's working in his home, is he in his place of business, he's a Shayma Sachar. Other Paiskim say, and that's what it seems to be, the halacha, even if he's working in my home. The Kula Sh'amru, Tola Shalach, if the person who was working on the item says, take back your item, the heavy moss, just pay me, and as the Rishon man will see clear in the Gemara, you're anxious to get the money, you're anxious to give back the item, even if I don't pay you, you just want to give back the item, at that moment when you tell me, pick it up, you become a Shomer Chinam. In a case where we make a deal with each other, Shmoli, I'll watch your item, Veshmalach, and you'll watch my item, so we're getting benefit from each other, and that's why we're both Shomer Sachar. If I ask you, Shmoli, watch this item on my behalf, Vamalei, I ask you, could you watch something for me? And you say to me, Hanach Lefonai, put it down. You become a Shomer Chinam. And here we have a three-way machlokes Rishonim, how to understand the Mishnah. Some Rishonim explain that the Mishnah is to be understood, that for you to become a Shomer, you don't have to do, even though normally we know for you to become responsible, you have to do a Maisa Kinyan. Here you don't have to do a Maisa Kinyan. Your articulation that you're willing to accept responsibility makes you into a Shomer. That's one opinion in the Rishonim. Another opinion in the Rishonim, just sort of a compromise opinion, is as follows. A full-fledged Shomer, to be chayef, a geneva, vaveda, or oinus, just by saying hanach lefonai, it's not good enough. Here, for pshia, negligence, that just saying hanach lefonai, you'll become responsible for pshia just by saying it. For other obligations, you have to have a kinyan. And a third opinion in the Rishonim is that even for this, for any situation of being a shomer, you have to do a Maisa Kinyan. And here it is considered like you did a Maisa Kinyan, because by you telling me to put it down, it's like you doing an act on the actual merchandise, and that's why it's considered a Kinyan, and that's why you become a shomer. Says the Mishnah, Hevei Ala Mashkin. Let's say I lend you money, and you give me a mashkin. We spoke about it many times. And you give me a mashkin to watch, says the Mishnah, I become a Shomer Sachar for watching it. Why? As we will learn in the Gemara. Because I did a mitzvah in lending you money. Lending somebody something is a mitzvah. And therefore, since I did a mitzvah, we learned the concept of prut of Rabbi Yosef. I'm part of Yosef a mitzvah, part of a mitzvah. If while we were doing this, somebody would come to the stock for me on potter, because I'm busy doing a mitzvah, so I benefit from this act, and therefore I'm considered a Shomer Sachar. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, lending and you giving me a mashkin doesn't mean a mitzvah. However, agrees Rabbi Yehuda, Haveyu Mars, that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, Haveyu Mars, you're still a Shomer Chinam. However, says Rabbi Yehuda, Haveyu Peiris, Shomer Sachar, which means as follows. Rabbi Yehuda says like this, especially in those times where they didn't have refrigerators. If I lend you fruit, so you taking fruit from me and agreeing to pay me back money, you did me a big favor. Because fruit is going to spoil. And therefore, you taking fruit and giving me back money, you're doing me a favor. And that's why everybody will agree that the mashkin that you give me in this transaction, I'm a Shomer Sachar for. Continues the Mishnah. Abba Shol Oimer. Rishai Adam Lahaskel Mashkoni Shaloyni Lias Paisk Vahalachalov Neshapesha Vaveda. Let's say I lent money to a poor person. And the poor person gave me a mashkin. So here we have a person who has a difficult time paying me back. So if I now go and rent out that mashkin and all the money I receive for that rent, I give back to the ani to deduct from the amount that he owes me, I'm doing him a gvaldig favor, and that's why it's mutter. Point out to Rishonim that even though the Mishnah is teaching us that if you leave a if a poor person leaves a mashkin by me, I can rent it out, and I'm doing him a favor, I can rent it out, but I shouldn't use it myself. Why shouldn't I use it myself? Because that looks like a chashad. It looks like I'm using your item, and it's ribis. So I should only rent it out to another individual. There's a machloikas apayiskim. Why would be the halacha if I lend the poor person money, and he gives me a mashkin, and we clearly speak out at the moment of the loan that I'm going to use the mashkin, and that use has a value which will be deducted from the amount of money I owe you. Is it then the halacha that even though it's I who am the malva, may I use it because it was spoken out? Or the issue of chshad remains, and even though it was spoken out between the malva and loiva, the halacha is that I, the malva, will not be allowed to use it. Says the Gemara, Lema masnisin look at Meir. It seems that our Mishnah doesn't follow Meir's opinion. The Tanya, as we've discussed many times and we will continue discussing. The Torah speaks about four shomrim. A shomer chinam, a shomer socher. Shomer chinam is somebody who does it for free. A shomer socher, somebody gets paid. A socher is a renter. And a shoyel is a borrower. The Torah is very clear what is the din by a shomer chinam, by a shomer socher, and a shoyel in the various different situations. The Torah, however, doesn't clearly spell out what is the din of a socher. And there's a big machloikas. Soicha ketsa mishalim. What is the din of a renter? Ramei Omer, the soicha is treated like a shemachinim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kishemachinim. He's treated like a shemachinim. Says the Gemara. It seems, this is what we're showing him, explain our Gemara. Our Mishnah, a soicha gets, pays for the use of the item. And therefore, he has benefit. He has benefit, but he pays for the benefit. Similarly, a woman is very similar to that. He gets benefit from the item that he's working on. And therefore, the Gemara is arguing that a soicher and a woman should have the same din. Our Mishnah paskins that what is the din of a woman? That a woman is treated like a shomer socher. Remeir paskins a soicher, which we just explained, a soicher and umen should have the same din, is treated like a shomer chinam. So our Mishnah is not consistent with the opinion of Remeir. It follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And we know throughout Shas, Stam Mishnah is Remeir. So how do we understand our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that a umen is treated like a shomer socher. And we just explained that a umen should be treated like a soicher, and according to Remeir, a soicher is a shomer chinam. Answers the Gemara, I feel the time Remeir. We can explain that our Mishnah, Ramei, will agree. Because Ramei will say that a woman is different than a soicher. Why? Because the ahiyah nor the shavikula alma. The fact that you chose me to be the woman, you chose my dry cleaning store, you chose me, because shavikula alma, you didn't go anywhere else. V'ogalele the day, you chose me, have a shayma soicher. Ask the Gemara, if that's what makes a woman unique, the same could be said regarding a soicher. You could have rented this item to anybody, and you rented it to me. Again, why, according to Rameya, Havala Shem Sacha, you should be considered Shem Sacha? Ella Phil Tamer Rameya. The way you understand the Mishnah, according to Rameya, is as follows. I am the Uman, and you give me a little more than the actual rate. That's why I'm a Shem Sacha. Ask the Gemara. The same could be argued by a soicher. Mila yaskinen, according to a mayor, that a soicher is treated like a shomer chinam. In all situations, he's treated like a shomer chinam. Mila yaskinen, isn't it also in a situation the kamashvleit for a porter that you give me a discount in the rent, and yet the mayor says that a soicher is considered like a shomer chinam? So again, how do we reconcile the mayor's opinion regarding a soicher and our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara. Ella fil tem rameya. Bahia no, the katafis lay igra, a woman has a very strong position. Because I'm holding your suit, going back to our example. And I'm holding your suit and telling you, I won't give you back your suit until you pay me. Bahia no, the tafis lay igra, to a boy la mefika zuzi, that you don't have to come and I don't have to beg you for my money, because until you pay me, you won't get your suit, Havalei Shai Mesachar, which is unique to Umin and not by a Seicher. Ibai Seima, another way of explaining the Mishnah is as follows. Even though the Gemara began with quoting the Machloikus of Remein Rabbi Yehuda, what is the din of a Seicher? Is he like a Shem Echinim or like a Shem Esachar? And the Gemara quoting that it is Ramei's opinion that he's like a Shem Echinim, and Rav Yehuda's opinion that he's like a Shem Esachar, there is a Gemara, Kemachle Rabbi Baravu Vatani, that he has a reverse opinion of this Machloikus. And according to him, according to his version, Seicher Ketz Mishalim, what is the din of a Seicher? Ramei Oimer, that he's treated like a Shem Esachar, Yehudaim is treated like a Shem Echinim. So according to this version, a Seicher is a Shem Esachar, has the same din as a Shem Esachar. And as we began this piece of Gemara, an Umin has the same din as a Seicher. And according to a Meir, both a Seicher and a Umin will all have the din like a Shem Esachar, because a Seicher, Rameyah says, is a Shem Esachar, and our Mishnah, Star Mishnah, is like Rameyah, says that a Umin, who halachically and characteristically is like a Seicher, will also have the din of a Shem Esachar.